Again, you can see the solemnity of those songs, just so solemn. Can you turn with me to John 3, please? I think you can see where I'm going with that, with whosoever. John 3. John 3 and verse 35. John 3 and verse 35. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We'll read that again. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Tonight, I'm just very burdened with this about the storm that is coming. The storm that is coming. Last week, I went into Superstore, and last Tuesday it was. And I was so impressed and really stunned with all the people that were there in the lineups. I've never seen anything like it. I went in there and I saw them all the way going down to the, if you know the superstore there on the west side, all the way down to the cheese aisle and down that lane. And I was stunned at that. And I asked the people, one person, why so many people? Why so many people? And this person said, oh, it's because of the storm that is coming. The storm that is coming. And I was so taken aback by that when I saw how men and women are so taken aback by a storm that is coming. And they were doing the right thing, really, by being prepared, getting ready for the storm that is coming. But I was thinking there as I was standing and looking at this, if you would ask these dear, precious souls, what about the storm that is coming on the earth? And really what I'm talking about is God's judgment. If you would ask them, are you prepared? Do you care about that? Most likely, according to what I've experienced, people would say, no, I'm not really concerned. And I'm just so amazed at that. And I looked around and I saw these people. They did not even doubt the meteorologist. The man that is saying, the storm is coming. There's going to be 2 days of blizzard. And these people didn't even think twice. They didn't even think, could he be telling the truth? No. They went and they got prepared. And tonight, I just want to have this on my heart. Are you going to be one of those who cares about these earthly things more than the spiritual things? The solemnity of the storm that is coming. Are you going to doubt because the meteorologist was right to a certain degree and he was wrong to another degree? It was not as severe as they said, but at the same time, there was a storm. But God's word, when he speaks in the scriptures, when he speaks in the word of God, it will come to pass. There will be no deviation, nothing that will ever not be perfectly true in God's word. And we found that out, and I was just thinking about this, and I saw the correlation between the storm that is coming and the natural storm that was here. And now I just want to talk about this verse here, about the wrath of God abiding upon us. The wrath of God, that storm that is brewing upon a person who is an unbeliever. And tonight I just want to speak about that. I want to answer 3 questions in this verse. There's a real good question. Why does the wrath of God abide on the unbeliever? So we will talk about that. Why does the wrath of God abide? Because this verse here says in John 3, verse 36, and he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And we think of, in the word of God, we think of the holiness of God. And this is really What we need to understand tonight is the holiness of God. I grew up in a place that would try to get to heaven by bribing God, really, by coming to God in a way that was not scriptural. Coming to him in a way, God says, come this way. And what I was taught is, come this way, not God's way. But God has it very clearly laid out in the Word of God that there is only one way to come. Because God, you see, is a holy God. In fact, when you go back to the Garden of Eden, the first commandment that God gave to Adam and Eve, and you probably know the story very well, but it's worth going over every time. God said to them, thou shalt not. God's holiness was shown in his commands. Thou shalt not eat of the tree in the middle of the garden. For the day that you eat of it, thou shalt surely die. So here God gave a commandment. And when God gives a commandment, it better be obeyed, right? It better be obeyed. Because if it is not obeyed, sin enters in. And that is exactly what happened with Adam. We think of how we read there in Romans 5, for by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So back in Genesis, God said to Adam and Eve, when you eat of it, you shall surely die. Well, we know the story well, how they physically did not die. God gave them, clothed them, but he had to put them out of his presence because of their sin. And remember, how many sins was it, dear child? How many sins? It was one sin. And that shows forth the holy character of God. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing it says of him, he was holy. So God is holy. So he says, thou shalt not. And Adam took that fruit from Eve. And by one man, sin entered into the world. And death by sin. What is this death that it's talking about? What is this death? Well, this has to be spiritual death, because they were put forth out of God's presence, no more having fellowship, God, the Maker, with his creation, the ones that were made in his image, having this fellowship that he enjoyed, walking in the cool of the day, having fellowship with Adam and Eve. No more that. They had to be put out of God's garden, out of his holy presence. And there we remember those cherubims were put there with the flaming swords. No more to come into God's presence this way. It is barred. Sin has come in. And sin has broken that relationship with God. Because God, you see, is a holy God. And he cannot have sin in his presence. And we'll come to what Christ did here. So sin really is what the problem is before a holy God. We think there in Romans 3, it says, for all have sinned. So it's not just Adam and Eve. It was Adam sinned first, and his children sinned. And they came, each child after that was born a sinner. Just to you and me tonight. And you would see that in your own life, wouldn't you? When your mom or dad, the Lord says in the Ten Commandments, honor your father and your mother. And how many of us, all of us have, at times, we've dishonored them. We have lied. We have taken something that they said we should not. And what has happened? We have sinned before a holy God. One sin. And we have sinned thousands of times. Thousands of times. See, our hearts before a holy God are full of sin. And God cannot have sin in his presence. So here we learn by this, that is why God's wrath is upon the one who is an unbeliever, who has not gotten rid of their sin. God's wrath is upon them because of their sin and the rejection of God's Son. So why does the wrath of God abide on the unbeliever? We have clearly seen from the scriptures, it is because of sin. So here we have on Easter day today, what has the Son done to appease God's wrath? That is the second question. Yeah, by God's grace, we'd like to answer here. What has the Son of God done to appease God's wrath. We read here, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." So here we see in this verse something very serious of what the Son has done. He is the answer. But how? What has he done to take away sin? What has the Lord Jesus Christ done to remove God's wrath from the one who believes in him? What has he done? We think of John 3:16, and this is a very beautiful verse. And this is the verse that I remember there, I guess it was close to 15 years ago, November 11th there, at the old Gospel Hall, there at Victor Street, coming in on a Sunday night like tonight, sitting over in this side. And I remember this verse really hitting me. And I just want this verse to hit you, dear person. If you're not yet saved, the Lord loves you. The Lord wants to save you. I was struck as I was studying for this at God's whosoever. I think of the verse there in 2 Peter 2. It says, "He is not willing that any should perish." What does any mean? It means any. It's a very simple word, but he does not want one person to perish. You tonight, God does not want you to perish. Not one person. Think of there in Timothy, it says, "Who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." All. I just love that word. It's so all-inclusive. The gospel is all-inclusive. It's to whosoever. And here we have another most beautiful whosoever. It says this, John 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," doesn't say that whosoever gets baptized, doesn't say that whosoever lives a certain way, or whosoever does this, or whosoever does that, but it says that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Saved. What a beautiful word, saved. We think of here, clearly we read here, actually we'll turn to Romans, Romans 5 here. In relation to the wrath of God here, Romans 5, it says this. Romans 5 and verse 7, or let's start at verse 8 there. "But God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Notice wrath here. We read in our first verse, it says that whosoever believeth in him shall... He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. But here it says this. It says, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Saved. So us here who are believers, it's just such a wonderful thing to be saved from wrath through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ. So there on the cross, we think of this Easter time and how 2,000 plus years ago, in actual historical fact, the man called Jesus Christ of Nazareth went to that cross of Calvary. And there on that cross, it was not just what men did to him. I remember growing up, that was something we were always just taught, is what men did to him. That men would treat him so cruelly. They would spit on his face. They would mock him. They would hit him. They would hit the Creator. Reading Colossians, that he made all things consist through him. Our very breath right now consists through Christ. And here they were hitting the Lord Jesus Christ. What audacity they had. But we think of this, and that's what we were told, is of how much pain he went through and how agonizing the cross was. But really, it's much more than that. It is much more than that. Let us understand tonight that there the Lord Jesus Christ appeased God's wrath. It's here. That's why he can be saved through Christ. Because there, here we are sinners, far away from God. It says here actually in Romans 5 that when we were ungodly, we are the ones who were sinners. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And says God commended his love towards us in that while we were sinners. So here we are. Here's the holy Son of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The one that he loved from eternity past. The one that he had fellowship with. He had glory with him, with the Father in eternity past. And the Father loves the Son. The Lord Jesus Christ says it himself there in John 3. He says that in John 3, verse 35. He says, the Father loveth the Son. The Lord Jesus Christ knew that the Father loved him. He knew that the Father loved him. But yet, it was a work of God. It wasn't just the Lord Jesus Christ going out. It wasn't just the Father sending him and the Son not being willing. No, it was the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And we see that at his baptism. He comes up out of the water, and the Father in heaven says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Spirit of God comes down upon him like a dove. And here we see that he rested upon the one who is going to redeem mankind. The whole Trinity there being together in redemption. And here we see that there he is, the Holy Son of God. We read in the scriptures, he is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He was a real man, but he was separate from sinners. Do you know why he was separate from sinners? It is because he was God manifested in the flesh. He was the one, very God of heaven, truly God, yet truly man. And we think of this, how his death proves that he was truly man. But his resurrection proves that he was truly God. God was satisfied. So here we have him, the precious Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And we see what all that men has done to have done to him. They have ripped open his back. And we think of crucifixion, how it's such an awful death. We think there in Psalm 22, we read, many years before the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, many years before crucifixion was even invented, it spoke of the crucifixion there in Psalm 22 in the Old Testament. It spoke of that. But he came at a time when this cruel death was invented. He took no shortcuts. And there he was, lifted up between heaven and earth. And there he was, a spectacle for men to see, naked on the cross. And what does the Lord Jesus Christ do there, dear child, dear man and woman? What does the Lord Jesus Christ do there? He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Here we are, sinners, deserving of God's judgment. The wrath of God, deserving of all the wrath over us. The storm, the wrath of God, deserving of everything. And here is God's holy, precious Son. Who is he going to spare? His beloved, precious Son, or us? He says he spared not his Son, but he delivered him up for us all. All of us, he delivered up Christ for us. And there on the cross, God's wrath came upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That storm that came upon him, God forsook him. Adam, back in the garden, he sinned against God. But here is the other one who came. Because of Adam, all of us are at this great gulf fixed between us and God. There's this great distance that we cannot get close, but Christ. But here's the Lord Jesus Christ. Upon the cross, God punishes him for us. Isn't that beautiful, substitution? Just a beautiful, beautiful thing. That there the Lord Jesus Christ, God demonstrated his love towards us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And now, and we read this further, how there after those three dark hours, when as we heard this morning, that even the very sun was darkened. So heaven and earth was darkened. God darkened heaven and earth. At the same time, he forsook an actual forsaking of his Son, of the Lord Jesus. He forsook him. Because of the wickedness of sin. And we read in Isaiah 53, it says this. But Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, we all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Of us all. He has laid on him. So the invitation goes out to all, because Christ died, and he satisfied God on the account of sin. God is completely satisfied. That's why it says there in John 3, verse 36, it says this, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, because the Son has paid the price. And there, after his three dark hours, he cried out with a loud voice. And many of you believers here know this beautiful verse. You've been saved by this verse. It is finished. And tonight, dear soul, we think of this, the seriousness of this, and how Christ, how God did so much. He did so much for us, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And now here, it's not only that our sins here are what God's wrath is abiding upon, although that is true, but it's also the rejection of God's great love. Because there in the context, it says this, the Father loveth the Son, and he has given all things into his hand. He loves the Son, and he gave his Son. But why would you spit in God's face and say, no, God, I do not want your Son? When it says there, he that believeth not, the word is an actual disobedience to that call, an actual saying no to God. No, I will not have your Son. That's why the wrath of God is still abiding upon the one who rejects Christ, because God gave so much, his very precious Son. And here it says this. So we answer the first question, why does the wrath of God abide on the unbeliever? It's because of sin. And what has the Son done to appease God's wrath? He has completely satisfied God. Completely satisfied God. And now the last thing, really, it's so important. What will you do with the Son? What will you do with Jesus? That's really everything in a nutshell. At the end of a gospel meeting, what will you do with God's Son? Because you see, here in this verse, you can see how all inclusive it is, but yet how exclusively it's in Christ alone. So he is the answer. It does not say anything else. It says this, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. It doesn't say anything else. He that believeth on the Son trusts in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Trusts in him for their very own. He is mine and I am his. And he that believeth not the Son, so sad, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You know, I was thinking there about this, how important it is, and we sang of that song, out of Christ, without a Savior. Forever and ever out of Christ. In the scriptures talk about being in Christ. So when God saves a person, he takes them through death, burial, and resurrection, and places them in Christ, and takes them up to heaven and seats them at the right hand of God. Scripture talks about that, being in Christ. So when God looks upon you, he sees only his precious Son, and he's completely satisfied. But think of this, out of Christ, it's not good enough to be, when a storm comes, we're thinking about the storm that is coming, a storm that is brewing, and someday judgment will fall on the one, on the dear souls who say no to God. They say, no, we do not want your love. We don't want your precious Son. We don't care what he did at the cross. We don't care at all that he has suffered. We don't care. A dear soul there, someday the wrath of God is going to fall upon them. Judgment will fall. That's the real storm. Are you prepared tonight? Because I remember being at the Ark there about 2 weeks ago in the Ark in Kentucky. And I was thinking of this and how I was standing inside the Ark. I'm putting myself in Noah's shoes. Being inside that ark and thinking of this, that storm that was outside at that time, and how secure he felt being there, having obeyed God, having trusted in God, by faith Noah. And there he was inside that ark, totally safe, him and his family, because they had faith that when what God said is going to come to pass. We know what the meteorologist said came to pass. There was a storm that came, but how much more God? Think in the Old Testament of the Lord, when he says something, it comes to pass to the day. Think of that prophecy there in Daniel. How it says that the Messiah will be cut off, or to Messiah the Prince. It gives a time at the going forth of the command to rebuild Israel. And I just love this because it just shows how accurate the word of God is. The going forth of the command to rebuild Israel. We read that in Nehemiah 2 when the king gave that command to rebuild Israel. And it says from that day, 483 years later, 69 weeks, which is 483 Jewish years, to the day. And that's exactly what happened if you read it in history. To the day the Lord Jesus Christ walked into Jerusalem. It says to Messiah, the Prince, which speaks of his royalty. He is the one who's going to walk into Jerusalem. And to the day, there 2,000 some years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ walked into Jerusalem. To the day. And many, many Jewish people have gotten saved by that. Because the Messiah, what God has said, came to pass. It must have been Jesus, the Messiah, 2,000 years ago. Because it's exactly what happened. To the day. And that's exactly what's going to happen here. What God says, the meteorologist can be wrong, but what God says cannot be wrong. There's a storm coming, and dear one, think of this, and I was standing there in Kentucky there, in that ark, and I was thinking, oh wow, it's so good to be in Christ, to be safe from the wrath, to have this wrath, as we read here in Romans 5, it says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath. No more wrath over us. Saved. Plucked out by Christ. Totally secure. Praise the Lord. Tonight, I just pray that you will know this. That you will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It says there, we'll read it one more time. It says in John 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Oh, dear soul, trust in Christ tonight. He will save you. He wants to save you. He's not desiring that anyone perish, but that all men come to the truth, that all men might be saved. He wants you to be saved. Let's sing one more hymn.